The scripture day today is from John 15, verses 9 through 17, and you may find it in the Pew Bible on page 1677. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. Bless the reading of his word.
Wonderful to be with you all this morning. Thank you for your invitation and your hospitality, and as always, you're welcome, and I trust that is just the nature of this place and not because I'm simply Rebecca's husband. That would be smart as well. I am, for those of you who don't know, I'm an Episcopal priest. I'm not serving a church right now. I left parish ministry 4.5 years ago to found a nonprofit working with foster youth, and continue to do that today, but love the opportunity to be invited to the pulpit, and really want to spend some time this morning looking at that pronouncement by Jesus that I chose you to be my friends, that I chose you to be my friends and to go and to bear fruit that is abiding. I chose you to be my friends, and as most of this passage, actually most of this chapter, he spends a lot of time trying to invite us to understand ourselves as friends. Which is a huge difference than being a slave. I no longer call you slave, but instead I now call you friend. A big difference to understand ourselves and our relationship with God, not as one as servant or as slave, not as one who walks behind God, or behind Jesus, or behind the Holy Spirit, but one who walks as friend. And where do friends walk? They walk alongside of. Not to be one who just simply is commanded or instructed or not encouraged, just expected, but instead one who shares in counsel with. When you need counsel, you go to a friend. When you need guidance, you seek your friend's input. It's a big step from being a slave to being a friend, and Jesus dedicates an entire ministry to inviting those who follow and who believe and who trust to see themselves not as those who walk behind but walk alongside, to be those who counsel and are not just commanded. Those who have a respect and not just an ownership. Big difference. Can you hear me? Can you hear that today? Big difference between being a slave, a servant, and being a friend. Very few people in the scriptures are called friends of God. But it's being put in the place of Abraham, who God says, "Here is Abraham, my friend." Standing with Abraham alongside God, be friends. Now, I have to ask you a question. When do we believe that God chose us to be God's friends? When did God choose you to be God's friends? Was it at your baptism? You can shake your head, you nod your head, you can just stand and look at me. Was it after baptism? Was there some kind of magic performed and God came down and said, heretofore you've not been my friend, but you've done this thing and now you're my friend? Hey, I don't know. Was it when you wrote that check for, let's pick a number, Andrew, $15,000. You wrote a $15,000 check to the church. And God said, my friends. I think, actually, we're going to start a little Presbyterianism out here. I think John Calvin spends much of his Institutes of Religion warning against that kind of belief, that somehow we buy our friendship with God, or somehow we earn our friendship with God. Was it when we prayed earnestly, and God said, look, Chris has a great soul, or Dennis has a great soul, and therefore they're my friends? I'm not sure we earn friendship. And I want to make a proposal today, and I want you to just go with me, stay with me, that perhaps our friendship with God is determined as we are being formed in our mother's womb. That our friendship with God predates you and me and beings and having life and breath. That our friendship with God is formed before the beginning of our life. Now, if you were to ask me to point out a scripture that might argue for this point, I would say, let's go back to the beginning of John's Gospel. The very beginning of John's Gospel. And I think we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, with God. the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. All things came into being. That means you came into being, I came into being, your neighbor came into being, in the beginning, in and through Jesus, the Word, who is God. Form and shape in the beginning. If I'm going back to the Psalms are littered with this understanding that we are called into friendship with God before we are here, in the beginning. If I go to Psalm 139, I don't have a page number to give you. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make the grave my bed, you are there also. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You, God, knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. My frame is not hidden from you. I was being made in secret. I am intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance before I existed. Called me to be. And when Paul hears that, when Paul hears the gospel, and Paul, who knows the Psalms so well, remembers those Psalms, he can state in Ephesians that you and I were called into the friendship of God before the foundations of the world. So, we don't earn our friendship with God. We don't work some kind of mystical magic that gives us friendship with God. We don't somehow pray our way into that friendship. Instead, God reaches down with, as God knits us together and says, you, I am forming, I am creating, I am blessing you to be my friend in this life. You are my friend simply because you are you. And I love you. And I don't want you to walk behind me. I want you to walk alongside of me. I don't want you to do just because I command. I, your creator, seek your counsel. I don't want you just to. I want you to be you. The friend I created from the beginning to be alongside. Now, friends also, are you with me? Friends also, think about your friends for a second. Friends also are those people we give agency to. What I mean is we empower them to speak on our behalf. They're the people that we trust the most, that we actually give a bit of ourselves to them. Think about the times that you needed something done and you didn't have time to do it, but you called a friend and said, could you do this for me? And when you're doing it for me. That is also the power of being a friend of God. That in a sense, we are given agency, we are given power and authority to act on the behalf of God. And I'm going to say something here, and I say it very carefully. We are given the authority and the power, we are empowered by that friendship, in that friendship, through that friendship, to be co-creators with God. I say that carefully. We're not God. Let me say that immediately. We're not God. But as friends of God, we are given the authority and the power to be co-creators with God. And this entire promise, this entire gift of friendship is found fulfillment and cemented and bonded in the person of Jesus Christ. It all comes to fruition and we come to an understanding in and through the person and ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's cemented so that we are called to walk alongside God, to be an agent of God in our lives from before we were born, to be co-creators with God. Among the saints who passed away this week, who died this week, are two that we will that I'm familiar with. Two saints who are called into that loving embrace of God and who are returned home. Ann Kearns being one of them. And Ann Kearns is gathered into that loving embrace with God with one of my favorite poets who also died this week. I don't know if you're familiar with Mary Oliver. She's a great poet from New England. Spend a lot of time writing poetry about nature. And if you would permit me, just take a moment to read you one of Mary Oliver's poems. Actually, it has nothing to do with nature after I just introduced her that way. She's writing a poem in an airport in Singapore, and it's simply called Singapore. In Singapore, in the airport, a darkness was ripped from my eyes. In the woman's restroom, one compartment stood open. A woman knelt there, washing something in the white bowl. Disgust argued in my stomach, and I felt in my pocket for my ticket. A poem should always have birds in it, kingfishers say, and their bold eyes and gaudy wings. Rivers are pleasant, and of course trees. A waterfall, or if it's not possible, a fountain rising and falling. A person wants to stand in a happy place in a poem. When the woman turned, I could not answer her face. Her beauty and her embarrassment struggled together, and neither could win. She smiled, and I smiled. What kind of nonsense is this? Everybody needs a job. Yes, a person wants to stand in a happy place in a poem. But first, you must watch her as she stares down at her labor, which is dull enough. She is washing the tops of the airport ashtrays as big as hubcaps with a blue rag. Her small hands turn the metal, scrubbing and rinsing. She does not work slowly nor quickly, but like a river. Her dark hair is like the wing of a bird. I don't doubt for a moment that she loves her life, and I want her to rise up from the crust and the slop and fly down to the river. This probably won't happen, but maybe it will. If the world were only pain and logic, who would want it? Of course it isn't. Neither do I mean anything miraculous, but only the light that can shine out of the life. I mean, the way she unfolded and refolded the blue cloth, the way her smile was only for my sake. I mean, the way this poem is filled with trees and with birds. Share that with you this morning because I believe that poem helps us unlock what it means to be a friend of God. I choose you to be my friend. I choose you to be my friends to go and bear fruit. And if the measure of our friendship is bearing fruit for God, our friend who walks alongside of us and who gives us agency, it is a pretty daunting friendship. To stand alongside the creator of the universe, who in 6 days could blow across chaos and create all that we've known, 7, 8, 9 billion years of history. To stand alongside and be given agency from the one who can speak and things come into being, to stand alongside and believe we've been given the power to, with that agency, to create alongside is pretty daunting. And Jesus doesn't make it any easier. Go out and heal the sick. Go forth and make the blind to see. Go forth and release the prisoner. Go forth and transform this world. And I don't know about you, but that's a hard friendship to carry. And yet, in the woman's restroom, in the airport in Singapore, the woman who is cleaning the toilet bowl and the ashtrays can turn and smile at an American poet, and the universe changes. In the midst of that bathroom, in the simple act of a smile, that poet is released from her demon of shame. In a woman's restroom in an airport in Singapore, in the simple act of a smile, a universe is transformed and a kingfisher shows up with its eyes and its somewhat ugly wings. In the simple act of a smile, something new is created. And so, my friends, it is daunting to be the friend of God. You didn't ask for it. I didn't ask for it. It was gifted us as we were being formed and knit together in our mother's womb. And it's our very being to be a friend of God. But you have transformed the universe throughout your lives. You have been the agents that have allowed the blind to see. You have freed people from demons. You have created new universes. You have freed prisoners. You have clothed the naked, and you have fed the hungry. In those small and wonderful acts that we are called to. And so I need you to remember that time when you you gave it up so that she could. That time when you were there when he just needed a friend. That time in your life when you were present when they were hurting. That time in your life when you spoke the word of hope, when there was only darkness. That time you smiled light, when nobody else could find a smile. And I need you to know that that is when we changed the universe. That's when we were the friends of God. And we're the agents and the change makers. And I want you, I need you, I beg you to hear God say to you today, thank you. Thank you for letting me walk alongside you. Thank you for being my agent of hope, of presence, of community, of recreation, of new universes. Thank you. Thank you for being my friend. Amen.